listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
And we are finishing Guido Appreciation Month. It's the final week.
Woo!
We love you.
Yes. Sometimes.
I mean, you're okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We will hear what Guido's pick is, and then at the end of the episode, we will pass or fail his pick, and then rank all four movies that we've done so far.
Where's my mathematicals?
Oh, I don't know if we can trust you with that pen anymore.
Yeah,
my royal blue pen.
Yes. And again, I don't even know if we can trust you with your notes. You'll probably get you'll get the scoring.
I'm
gonna
have to think of that right off the because I haven't really.
I'm sorry. Did you win last month?
You did.
You did.
You did.
I did.
Yes.
I'm back.
Oh,
I'm better than ever.
You fuckers.
Speaking of fuckers,
Guido, how was your month? How did you like it?
So
did you feel appreciated?
I feel very appreciated, and I want you all to know
unlike us.
That my life is better with all of you in it.
Oh,
and I love you all.
That's
You're
great.
Wonderful people.
It's not my fault that you can't understand basic plot of a movie, Tammy. Come on.
Also, our listeners and really appreciated you guys doing your Conor McGregor impression. That
was, I was going to say, I was going to bring that up. Dude, that was a good time. Friday night. All the way into 2 a.m. watching his fucking,
oh
you know, bag of Doritos of a movie. And, like, that was a good time, man.
I want to do a theme month where we each pick just a terrible Jake Gyllenhaal movie. I call Ambulance.
Gotta get tanked.
But, like, I feel like he has this career that, like, ebbs and flows. Nightcrawler.
He does what he wants.
Remake of Roadhouse. Things like that. It's just, like, the craziest career.
So would the Velvet Buzzsaw be in the trough of your wave, or would it be a peak?
I'd feel like it'd be a on the verge of going down.
All right.
Per your suggestion, I did just watch that.
Yeah.
Like last week, and kind of like what your pick is leading into, like if for a segue, if anything, this is just one of those times where like a director works with someone that they really like working with.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not so great. Or sometimes, like these two, they are synonymous with one another.
There's room to be good and not great.
Yeah. Well, here's what I said to him. Meant,
like with your pick, I'm saying they're synonymous because you can't really say one direct. You can't say the director without this actor.
Here's what I said about Nightcrawler and Velvet Buzzsaw to him. I said Nightcrawler knows exactly what it is. I don't think Velvet Buzzsaw know what it's supposed to be.
Like, it's a slasher flick.
Is it? I don't.
Why not?
I just feel like it has no idea what it wants to be. It's pulling all these different things in. And it's like.
That's because they let Jake chew the fucking screen too much.
I think the best part of that movie.
Well, you could do that one for our crazy Jake Gyllenhaal month.
I might.
The best part of that one was at the very end, for no reason whatsoever, John Malkovich is just on the beach, like drawing swirls on the beach.
He had the best character arc, John Malkovich, because
a recovering alcoholic that relapses but survives.
Yeah, it was beautiful because he chose a medium for his art that was fleeting. Right, it wasn't constant. The waves erased everything he did, and it's like it was nice.
Guido,
so
tell us about your pick.
I chose Casino.
I was a hell of a handicapper, I can tell you that. I had it down so good that I ran paradise on earth. I had one of the biggest casinos in Las Vegas to run for Tangiers. You know, if I did it, I'd have to run it my way.
Nobody's gonna interfere with you running the casino, I guarantee it.
Tammy, what do you think about when I chose Casino?
What did I think?
Yeah.
Had you seen it before? What'd you think?
Have you seen it before?
So I think I've only seen the scene where they get thrown into the ditch.
Oh,
yeah. Over and over and over again. I've seen that part many a time.
In the cornfield, you've seen that. Okay.
That's a rough scene.
Yeah.
It has no context.
So it's like, oh, Joe Pesci's dead.
Tiny little man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's in a cornfield.
Very dead.
No, they buried him. He was still breathing.
Oh, God.
I mean, he was good.
I don't watch the movies like this without you, so it's not something that I would be like, oh, look, this is on streaming. Like, let me put this on by myself.
It was too heavy?
Or feminine brains.
No, I like
Hey, that was
real
Goodfellas, not
Casino. I guess.
Know.
What I don't know. Real murder. This is based off real things.
Come on, Karen.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Were you excited to watch it for Guido Appreciation Month?
I mean, I love a good... We talked about this in SOS. I love a good hairy Italian man.
Oh.
I'm not a big, like... They're older, so it was not a big... Like,
body hair is virility.
And there weren't any people from Jersey in it, so...
What are you talking about? It was full of people from Jersey.
No, New York.
They're all... They probably all...
Okay, because everyone in New York just stays in New York. I got it. All right. Matt, what did you think?
Oh... I love Scorsese. I have seen this many... I think I've actually seen this more than Goodfellas. I think I saw this first, like, in a rare occurrence. I was just like, oh. And then they're like, oh, well, you've seen Casino? You haven't seen Goodfellas? I'm like, no, I haven't. I guess I just wasn't a really big Ray Liotta fan, but real excited to watch this.
Yeah, you gotta do it for the Scorsese.
Gotta do it for Marty.
What'd you think?
Ditto.
Okay.
I had seen it. I had seen it before I saw Goodfellas. And again, yeah, I'm not a big Ray Liotta fan either. So, plus, you know, my feminine brain. But I was excited to watch it again. I forgot how long it was.
Plus Sharon Stone.
Plus Sharon Stone.
And James Woods.
At this point, when I watch Goodfellas and I hear the, like, Karen get screamed over and over, I just cringe now. I mean, I love the movie, but it's like, come on.
I'm starting to rewatch The Sopranos, and I forget that that's her. You know, like the same person.
Oh, the shrink. Yeah.
Plus, Matt always says I sound like her when I say meatballs.
Yeah, well, she's hot in The Sopranos. And hot dog. Okay, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, every time
she's
like,
super hot in The Sopranos.
Like I said, we're gonna grill something. She's like, oh, you want me to go to the She's like, do you want me to go to the grocery store, get some chips, get some rolls, and get some hot dogs? Like, I was like, oh fuck, Lorraine Bracco, where'd you come from?
I say hot dogs, I say meatballs.
Shannon does that too every
because
once in a while.
It's fun.
No, Shannon does it on purpose.
Oh, I don't do it on purpose.
I mean, that's how she says it.
Unintentionally.
If I catch her saying mozzarella, we're going to have a problem.
I would never say that.
No, but she says hot dogs.
Yeah,
hot dogs.
She's having fun with it.
No, I'm serious.
She's taking it
for a ride.
Next
time she does it.
Point it out to me, and I'll give her a hard time.
You probably don't hear it because your ears like ear tune people's voices into Italian accents.
Look, when we watch that.
No, it's because his sister is talking, so he's just not listening.
Summer of Sam was a nice, comforting movie to watch, okay? I'm just telling you right now.
What?
The orgies.
It was nice. All the, like, their accents was really nice.
Okay. Let me guess.
Blown Away When There Was Some was terrible for you, right?
Dude.
That's the ting.
Who forgets they have a boss? Never mind. So, Casino came out in 95. It was obviously directed by Martin Scorsese. And it stars most of Hollywood at this point. So, most importantly, Don Rickles is Billy Sherbert.
Love.
And that is not to poke fun at his weight, Sherbert. All right. It's got Joe Pesci as Nicky Santoro.
Quad pro quo alum.
James Woods is a real fucking piece of shit.
Shocking.
Kevin Pollak.
Love.
Quad pro quo alum.
Some guy named Dick Smothers is in it.
Smothers Brothers.
And, of course, Robert De Niro. And the best leading lady. Sharon Stone plays Ginger McKenna, and she is awful. She looks like she would be sticky. You know, she's just awful.
Oh, so, my God.
This movie is 3 fucking hours long, and somehow it feels every minute of that. And everyone's seen it, so I'm going to tell you that I'm just going to do my favorite scenes, but I've got the whole fucking movie here, so...
One of my favorite running jokes is when people do the Scorsese thing where it's like, hey, Scorsese's going to make a movie about a casino. What's it called? Casino. Hey, he's going to make a movie about gangs in New York. What's it called? Gangs of New York. Like, he just names his movies after.
Goodfellas. This is just some good guys.
It's one of my favorite running jokes. I just think it's hilarious.
Ali,
it doesn't work for all of his movies, but he's going to make a movie about a taxi driver. What's it called? Taxi driver.
It's very imaginative. The Irishman, holy shit.
I'm gonna make a movie about some quiet priests. What's it called? Silence.
Hilarious.
You know what? The first one, but then again he's
a little on the nose, Marty.
He was just going with a book title. I mean, he was going with the title of the book. You couldn't do that with Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work for all of his movies, but it works for quite a few of them, and it's just funny.
Hey, I'm remaking Cape Fear. What's it called?
Cape Fear.
All right. A little derivative. Well, okay, so this movie starts with the nice car bombing of an innocent mannequin. so I don't know if anybody catches the hard cut at the beginning of the movie.
As long as he's still wearing that salmon-colored suit.
Yeah, so De Niro in his bomb-ass salmon suit gets into his bomb-ass silver Cadillac.
And he gets smoked.
Smoked salmon!
Hard cut to a lifeless fuck doll in the driver's seat, and it explodes. Boom. Now we got 8 minutes of opening credits.
I like what you did there.
They are so fucking, like...
Boom.
I said to him when we were watching it, I was like, Casino is just a three-hour-long montage.
Oh, yeah.
It's always... There's always music, and there's, most of the time, someone talking.
Exposition. Exposition.
It's a three-hour-long montage. But that's what it is.
Not a ton of jump cuts like some movies.
What are we referring to there?
Man on Fire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, De Niro, or Mr. Rothstein.
Ace Rothstein.
Ace. Whatever is the... He's the best and brightest when it comes to mobsters.
He's a great betting handicapper.
He was
like bookies. He would go into a bookie's office and be like, "Yeah, let me put 10 on the Eagles to beat the Cowboys."
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. He was so good that whenever he placed a bet, he would change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. And he runs the Tangiers Casino for a large Midwest crime family. Joe Pesci's Nicky Santoro, and is he's his right hand man for a little while. Little hothead does the dirty work.
Has cat eyes.
He's got his own personal goons. It's a wise guy's dream casino. It just prints cash. What?
Can you hold your hand like this?
And I'm not. No, no.
And like this.
I'm not air dicking.
You're literally.
I'm not
air dicking. Every time, if you just moved your hand, made your hand look like a fist, you would just be jerking your face off with one hand.
What's it look like now? If I cup the balls,
like you're just you can't not talk with your hands.
I'm getting fucking basted now.
We're getting Ricky Stenicki over here.
I'm not air dicking.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
I'm holding on the paper.
No,
bitch.
No. Put your hand in a fist.
It's no. Just one of them. I'm not giving you air dick material.
I need you to do this so that I can see.
I won't.
You're no fun.
I won't.
Okay, so Ace hires Don Rickles, because why not? In the cash room, it's full of Goombas doing their best to count wrong. One guy comes in with his briefcase and fills it up. Money Room does short counts. They lose inventory slips. They even take a little bit directly from the drawer. Every beak is a wet beak. I mean, everyone is paid off.
Much money.
And in case you don't get it, at least three different people are telling you about how the casino is running.
Yes.
So then they are here to steal your money.
We get a lot of exposition.
Oh, yes.
And then Joe's over there going like, and then there's this one guy, he walks over there, and nobody's watching him. But that's the whole thing about Vegas. We're just out there to take money.
You will soon.
I will soon.
All the money heads back to Kansas City for the top guys. All they wanted was a suitcase full of cash, no matter what. They meet in the back of a produce market, and one of the guys has his mom make the food for the meeting. And I'm pretty sure I saw her cut the garlic with a razor blade. Thin.
Isn't that his mom?
That's Marty. It's Marty's mom.
I think she's taller than him.
Doesn't take much.
It doesn't.
So they set it up. So the Teamsters makes a $62 million investment in Kevin Pollak to build a casino, and they get Ace to run the place. So Ace is a little apprehensive to start, but he doesn't have a gambling license, so he's just told, apply for a license, change your title every now and then from, like, casino executive to food and beverage chairman, and then your paper goes to the bottom of the pile. No big deal.
Oh my God.
It your way. So Ace was the best. He would weigh the dice for the crap tables. He made sure the dealers were placing checks nicely, not splashing the table like a fucking animal. Knowing if the players he was betting on had coke problems. He'd do win velocity for field goals, different types of wood floors for college basketball.
He just wants to take your money.
He wants your money.
That's what Vegas is all
about. That's what Vegas is all about over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at this point, they tell you about Nicky, and Nicky's got Ace's back, and he stabs a guy, I counted, 18 times with his own pen, and then kicks him while he's on the ground.
You're a little girl, Ace.
Well, to be honest, that guy was kind of a fucking asshole.
That guy deserved to be stabbed in the neck with a pen.
To Robert De Niro. All Robert De Niro was saying was like, is this yours? Just, you know, take it so I don't knock it over or whatever it was. Yeah,
Want you to lose your nice pen.
You to lose your pen.
It's a really nice pen.
And
then
he said, why don't you shove that up your fucking ass? I mean, I wouldn't stab him.
I mean, it's
Nicky.
I
appreciated Joe Pesci's, enthusiasm.
He tells you later, he's stupid. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He'll go to jail. That's his business, you see. Ace has a fleet of top-tier hookers for politicians and an endless supply of robes and towels and little soaps for the billionaire cheapskates.
Smothers brother.
Yeah, that's Dick Smothers.
That's the Smothers.
That's the Smothers.
There's more than one Dick Smothers?
There's Smothers brothers.
Tell me there's a Richard Smothers.
No, there's two. They're the Smothers brothers. So there's Dick and Tommy.
Whose dick is in Tommy?
They had a variety show back in like the 60s and 70s. The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
That's Hollywood for you. All right. Well,
they also like throwing car batteries into the ocean.
Yes.
So if the whales beat the house downstairs at the table, then Ace will have their private jet go in the Fritz, get the whales back to the table to lose their money. Again, he wants your money. The dealers watch the players, the boxmen are watching the dealers, the floormen are watching the boxmen, the pit bosses are watching the floormen, the shift bosses are watching the pit bosses, the casino manager is watching the shift bosses, Ace is watching the casino.
Yeah, God.
And the eye you get in it? The sky you get it? Is watching everything.
Who's Joe Bob Briggs?
Joe Bob Briggs? Because
he's like the stupid nephew or something.
Yeah, then Bobby goes into the whole thing about how they got to keep, they got to keep the senators greased up, and they also got to keep the hillbillies, as they put it, in, you know, happy, because they're the ones that technically run the government and all that shit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Bob Briggs is the one nephew of some county commissioner, and he's juiced in, or whatever they say it is.
No, you're right. Now we meet Ginger. Jesus fucking Christ, this woman is just awful. Blonde elitist coke bag with a washed out complexion, just thin, underdeveloped, red smattered lips contrasting her yellow cigarette teeth. I hate her. Always have. Fuck this fickle, morally flexible, nicotine embalmed waste of Gucci. She's awful. She's making a scene at the craps table. She's slipping
you
chips.
Have some nerve.
You really
because she
do.
Really is like she's an equal in a man in the man's world. She has
she's
survived.
And she has fabulous fucking clothes in this movie.
Yeah. God forbid she demands to have nice things because she deserves it.
Yeah. She doesn't want to be taken advantage of.
She's taking advantage of people.
She knows
good.
What she's doing.
She's not
just
a good person.
As
bad as they are.
Exactly.
I would say she's worse.
Robert De Niro gambled on the wrong girl.
Robert De Niro didn't do mirrors full of cocaine in front of his kid.
Well,
I'm just
that's
saying.
Later. That's later.
Shit. She's fucking terrible. So, bitch is making a scene at the craps table. Okay, she's slipping chips into her purse. She needs to reapply lipstick for some reason. And she's got a weird body shape, too. You know, like, with that dress, she looks like a bedazzled caterpillar.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, she's...
More like a glowworm. Like, remember that glowworm doll that had the hat?
And yes.
Yes.
Our lovely niece has a glowworm doll.
With that hair, it looked like... You look like a glowworm.
Formless, you know?
Formless?
Oh, come on, formless. Man. It's fucking Sharon Stone. Shut the fuck up.
All right, I got it. All right. So anyway, she's upset she didn't get paid more for doing nothing and throws the guy's chips everywhere. Ace just have to make a platforming mistake by getting her info. So he showers Ginger with gold and expensive presents because she's like a crow and only is attracted to shiny things.
That tracks.
Now she looks like Earthworm Jim with a fur coat on. She's slapping honeys into the palms of the valets, some security guards. Her job now is to bring in high rollers and to keep them gambling for days.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the while. She's got her childhood... love.
Yeah, you know how I know she sucks? She fucks James Woods.
Yeah.
You ever see the movie Vampires?
Yes.
Come on.
I love
Holy shit.
Vampires.
All right.
You just
Such
lost
a good movie.
You just lost your argument there.
I mean, he literally.
I mean, I don't want to fuck him, but I love that
movie. I
mean,
he does literally play like the devil in one movie. I mean, well, not technically the devil, but he plays Hades.
Also, he has abused her probably since she was a child and basically like kept her as like he's like her pimp basically.
The only thing I think that De Niro says more than talking about the skim is talking about her dumb pimp boyfriend Lester, whatever Lester.
So, these two deserve each other. And Nikki comes to town. Ace introduces him to Ginger. And she's wearing this gossamer purple lace window curtain.
Oh,
and Nikki.
Allie loves this outfit.
Yeah, what about this outfit?
It's so sexy. It lives rent free in my head.
To quote the song,
it's a fashion faux pas.
No, it's gorgeous.
I'm gonna have to agree with them on this one. Like to quote the soundtrack that's playing when she's wearing this, it's the "There's Something About Her" by the Rolling Stones.
Cause yeah,
Marty. But there was something about her in that scene.
It's so, she looks so good. It's only for like 30 seconds you see her in it, and it's such an amazing outfit. She looks beautiful.
Not to mention she's having a good time with Ace.
Yes, she's actually happy.
Highlights her in the cocaine's free. Healthy light.
I'd be happy too.
Oh, the color looks so good on her too. The lilac.
Yeah, because I feel like
lavender.
Like, aren't they in that classic Vegas location? Like, isn't that the same spot that we see later in The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, when Leo's doing that whole coked out binge himself. And
I feel like they use it in, like, Smoke and Aces, too.
Yeah. It's like the go-to...
big window...
villa of Vegas. Yeah.
But I think it was, like, Lake Tahoe, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's probably Lake Tahoe. Yeah.
All right. So, Ace, back on the floor. Ace spots a guy at Blackjack.
Oh.
He's doing well. All right. He bends down to tie his shoe, and he sees another gentleman has a perfect view of the dealer's cards. So he makes a call, has some security cards, zap one guy with a cattle prod, drags him to the back. Don Rickles catches up with the winner, cashing in his chips, escorts him to the back. So they go to work a little bit on, you know, on one of the cheat's hands by smashing it with a hammer. Ace tells the other guy, you can have the money or the hammer, you can't have both.
That's
fair.
God, this hand breaking scene is awful.
You can feel the smashes.
You can feel it.
So fast forward a bit, and Ginger and Ace are getting married in a gaudy, nouveau riche, extravagant wedding. This lady is in a real classy secretary jacket and a little nurse hat on. Put together. So
it's a 1960s bridal outfit, yes.
Okay. So fade out while James Woods asks, can you feel me in you?
Ew.
Disgusting. So gross. It's like he's just awful.
He's
too
vile.
So she's sad she can't be with him because she's married now, but Ace takes her home and he shows his new pet all the new toys she got, she gets to play with. Lots of shiny things for
this
the bird
closet.
All that jewelry,
the fur.
Disgusting. It's all Gucci and like
Everything Gucci.
And then the 20, what is it? How much money in that safe?
So later he takes Ginger to the bank to deposit $2 million that only she can access just in case he gets pinched.
Which is illegal. You're not supposed to put cash in a safe deposit box, I'm pretty sure.
Says who?
I don't think you're supposed
robbers?
To
robbers?
Yeah, you can.
Well, no, because you're like hiding it from the government at that point.
You can put anything you want in a safety deposit box.
I know, but I don't really think you're supposed to.
You put my money on ice.
Why can't, it's like putting your money under the mattress.
That's illegal.
Why?
Because
it's
you
my
have
money.
Because you have to declare money.
What if I did declare it?
Then that's different. But I'm saying people put money in safety deposit boxes so they don't have to declare it. Like
where is it?
Like what he's doing.
I mean,
he's hiding it from the government.
He's not hiding it from the government. He has it there as a...
it's undeclared.
In case he ever gets...
it's undeclared!
Yeah, well, I mean, it is undeclared, but that's his ransom or
You got pinched.
Get out of jail
bail money.
Yeah. Well, what if I give you this can and then you go put it in a safety deposit box?
Well, then she's dumb for putting an empty can.
I don't think that's a good use of a safety deposit box.
No, it's not, because technically you have to declare the revenue.
Well, you declare my can.
Is the can open?
A gift.
A goose. Sorry.
My God.
Gone off the rails here.
Well, guess what? Now the mob movie starts. So
wait, how far into this movie are we?
I know, right? This is 45 minutes.
I know.
What the fuck?
I literally stopped it at this point. I was like, how much longer do we have left?
I mean, I love it. Okay. And you know what's funny? Like
Give Me Shelter like 3 times.
I know.
The majority of the time I'm watching this movie, it's on TNT or some shit. So it's actually 4.5 hours
so
long.
You
know how those goddamn ads do.
And there's no point in doing that with all the cursing.
Probably why I've only seen the end.
Yeah. Right. That's how
they cut out half of the middle.
You have to dedicate yourself to...
I've definitely seen the end of Braveheart like twice as many times as the beginning.
You have to dedicate yourself to a Scorsese movie.
Nikki starts to earn in the Tangiers. Real obvious, real sloppy. He's rubbing Ace the wrong way. Nikki yells at one of his guys about being sloppy with you. Can you read this, Matt? As Joe Pesci? Read it right here.
You've took your boots off? You put your feet up on the table, you shit-kicking, stinky horse manure-smelling motherfucker, you! You fuck me over here and I'll stick you out in the desert! Go apologize! Hand smacking, and he's jumping up to hit him because he's a little fella.
And that guy was really tall.
It was fucking incredible.
It was amazing. Good job.
Thank you, Joe Pesci.
That was amazing.
I got cat eyes.
He did have a little work done in the middle of the movie, guy. Okay?
Oh, no.
So, and just so you know, in My Cousin Vinny, he was wearing skin color tape around his eyes. That's why he had a little bit of that look, too. But in this movie, straight up, ears touching behind his head, skin pulled back.
I didn't really notice.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
That's why he doesn't laugh in the movie. He'd tear his forehead open.
Oh.
He fucking looked like Mac in Always Sunny. He was doing the Nightman.
Not everyone ages gracefully.
He enhanced his looks because he's a Hollywood actor. Good for him.
All I asked was...
Yes, doesn't always work
good
out.
For him, but Sharon Stone is like a sack of oatmeal, apparently. Jesus.
Yellow teeth and all.
Yellow teeth and...
Well, it's because she...
It wasn't the lighting, okay?
It's because
you weren't complaining when she opens her legs in Basic Instinct.
But she had a different look.
All right. Ugh. Literally like 2 years before this movie.
It's Hollywood, okay?
So, it's because she's not Italian.
Okay.
Ace warns Nikki at this point about getting put in the black book. So Ginger works a room with the grace of a coked up ferret covered in gold tape. Fast forward some more, and Nikki gets banned from all the casinos. I get black book. So he calls a few friends home and starts doing even more crime. And fences his stolen goods through his new jewelry store.
Yeah, he goes like straight up mobster, like criminal, instead of trying to help the skim. Why we're all out there.
Yeah, I like nice wise guys. Money. Okay? They do the dirty work on the D out. This guy's dirty work is like broad daylight. So
that guy he works with is in like every single mob type
thing. That's just his face. That's he can't thing. Help it. You know,
That's the guy he stomps to death in Goodfellas.
Oh. So during this montage, my favorite bit of crime from this is when he had two guys in that moving truck parked right up against the wall of another jewelry store. Mm-hmm. And the guys taped insulation around some of the drills so you couldn't hear anything. And they broke right through the wall of the truck, right through the wall of the building. That was, come on, they're genius. That's genius level crime. Genius.
And
so
based on a true story.
Nicky's doing well with his gang of thugs. He does a little loan sharking. At one point, he tortures a giant Irishman by putting his head in a vice. The eyes do pop out. Back at the casino, Ace fires a connected guy. That's that...
That's Joe Bob Briggs.
For me, I was going to argue when you got to here, I was going to say, because you were saying how like him hooking up with Sharon Stone was his watershed moment of like where everything was going wrong for him. I would say it's this right here.
He's firing
where
that
he fires
guy.
This guy because you know what? Yeah. Ginger can fuck off with all her drugs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And who cares? It's just another rich guy's wife hopped up on something and goes off to the Betty Ford Clinic in a week or two. But firing this guy is what gets his cousin all pissed off. They have that big head up and they're just like, did this fucker ever apply for a gaming license?
This is when he's wearing that powder blue suit.
Well, with no pants. And he learned that from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So Kevin Pollak shows up to tell Ace he can't actually fire that guy. Ace just freaks out about blueberries. later, Ginger, the insipid cum dumpster, hits Ace up for some cash, but he doesn't give it to her because she didn't tell him what it was for. So she's pissed. She goes to the bank and makes a withdrawal. Little does she know that Nikki's been tailing her. Now Ginger heads back to James Woods with the cash so that he can, booty burp his boy juice. And now...
booty burp his boy juice?
Yeah, she wants to booty burp his boy juice.
Oh, booty burp.
Yeah, the booty be burping the boy juice.
You mean the ass? The ass?
So Nikki calls Ace and he shows up to confront James Woods, pays him off a little and has his goons work him over a little bit. Later, Ginger vents to Nikki about everything and Ace has a meeting with the county commissioner about the guy he fired. Ginger falls apart further and honestly, this is where Sharon Stone earns her Golden Globe.
Wasn't the bribe?
No.
That was a different movie.
Oh. The mob bosses catch wind that the briefcase is full of money are getting lighter. So at the same time, Kevin Pollak pisses off a Karen and she sues him in court and wins. That's no good because he'll have to open up the books. So they settle out of court by sending Nikki over to Karen's house to gently shoot her in the head a little bit.
Oh my God.
He skimmed her.
Is that bullet caliber?
It's a 22, bro.
So it is, it will stay in there. That lady looked like she had a small head.
Yeah. He didn't bleed very much.
He put his hand...
right on the other side.
On the other side.
That's saying, not ideal for big calibers.
Okay, so that would be a caliber that would go
through her head
into his hand.
Yeah, subsonic 22 caliber rounds absolutely not going through a cranium. Tammy, did I use the right word there?
The cranium?
Sure.
Man, she's glazed over. All right, so how can I shit on this woman some more?
Oh, my God. Talk about how she lost the Oscar.
Have they had a kid yet?
Oh, no, they had a kid before they got married.
Yeah, they have a kid. Yeah,
that was Ace's way kid's of hedging his bets with the kid by having making Ginger have the kid first.
The heat is now on Ace, and Nikki stops asking for permission to do things, so he's killing and robbing anyone he wants now. The cops bring Nikki in for questioning for every little thing. The FBI is watching him, too, so Nikki watches them right back. The FBI is watching Nikki play golf for so long that their plane ran out of gas and they had to land on Ace's golf course. So
that was funny.
It couldn't get any worse, but it does.
Never mind.
I enjoyed those scenes where he's like, I have to walk around and put my hand over my mouth because they can read lips now.
Yeah. The FBI overhears one of the mob bosses talk openly about the suitcases getting lighter, and he'll kill any person involved, and he keeps all the receipts in his little book, so they had everything they needed right there. The commission chose not to grant Ace a gambling license, so he goes off on all the politicians that railed hookers in his casino.
Mother's brother.
Yep, he smothered his dick all over. Okay. So Ace is incensed, all right? He stars in his own late-night show featuring a live band and dancers.
Frankie Avalon.
He just points. Yeah, he was in that. And he just
dropout himself.
He just uses it as a platform to point fingers.
Well, he didn't get his gaming license.
He didn't. But the bosses are annoyed that he's making waves, especially since he's on the air now, which is the opposite of what the bosses want him to do. So the heat, as you mentioned earlier, Tammy, the heat is so bad they can't even talk in code. They have to have the wives talk nonsense for the first few minutes of every call.
Passes the Bechdel test.
Yes, technically it does.
That's success. I hear it ringing. So then Nikki has to... Yeah, Nikki has to change cars 6 times to lose the FBI tail.
I didn't realize there were that many parking garages in Vegas.
Probably use the same one sometimes. Run that long.
Did you hear him wheeze? Sounds like a pug. that was all just so Nikki could yell at Ace for 2 minutes straight in the desert. That's it.
Motherfucker, you!
It's like he's in the room. I love it.
That's crazy.
At least this time he didn't bite De Niro's finger like he did Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. What? Nikki doesn't give a shit anymore. He heads to the Tangiers, gets in the whole 10 grand, demands another 50 in credit. Nikki hits Don Rickles because he's a fucking asshole.
Total asshole. You hit that old, that legend, that comedy legend.
Well, not little, but like if Yoda were a real person.
Now, it's divorce time. Ginger and Ace look into divorce. Ace finds out that she's seeing James Woods again, so he calls home for them to send a guy over to handle it.
Does she have the terrible haircut at this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ginger is doing fat lines of coke in front of her child because, you know, we should feel sorry for her because she just got caught up. Yeah, right. James Woods says nasty shit to an 8-year-old with such ease that you can't convince me he doesn't do that every chance he gets.
Absolutely does.
Mm-hmm. Holy fuck, this movie is long.
Yes, it is.
I'm so sorry. True to form, though, we did Empire of the Sun. So Ace gets Ginger home via private jet. They have a one-sided awkward dinner. Later, he overhears her on the phone setting up a hit. So he's had enough and he kicks her out. She comes back the next morning. They make up. Ginger then goes to a construction yard double wide to vent to Nikki. And because he's such a nice guy, he lets her choke on his fat cock. Did that not happen? Did you see the same movie I did?
It did. Okay. I just the fact that it took her trying to get a hit out on him to be like, this is the final straw. Oh no, wait. The next morning, you can come back. Never mind. Yep. I'm not mad at you. But the final straw is you choking on Joe Pesci's fat cock.
Apparently, that's the only thing that will really piss off the bosses back home.
Oh yeah, you don't fuck your friends' wives.
Because you finally get that, you get the one voiceover that isn't from De Niro or Joe Pesci, you know, guy that got his shit beat out of him in Goodfellas was like, what was I supposed to do? If I told him about Nikki and Ginger, everybody's done.
Yeah.
Ew. The immediacy of him pushing her head down onto his dick.
She knew what time it was.
I know, but it's just...
Come on.
He did the same thing with the showgirl in the beginning of the movie. It's just like, gee...
And he didn't stop talking then.
And then she was wearing that outfit. She just wanted
her to shut up.
She was creaking as she went up and down on him like an old leather couch. Because that's what she looked like.
So between gags, she tells him about Ace's getaway money. She goes home and Ace can smell the ball must in the air as she walks by, I'm telling you. So he can see the hot, frothy ejaculate matted into her hair. They argue.
Christina's getting a four.
They argue.
That's what's keeping that horrible hairdo up.
And she goes back.
What is that, hair gel?
Some of the worst hair ever.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's awful.
Hey, is that hair gel?
I don't know why. All right, but as Nikki is stuffing his 16 and a half inch neck by 28 inch sleeve dress shirt into his little pants, and Ginger is on the bed, it reminds me of A Bug's Life. Like, what? I mean, Nikki is the portly ladybug, and Ginger is the scary grasshopper.
Oh, okay.
At this point, Nikki's crew spinning out of control. I think you should know that Frank Vincent in this movie looks and dressed pretty much exactly how my grandfather did.
I hate De Niro's collared shirts in this, especially the huge ones that are white.
The big lapels.
And you can't see the top of the tie because the lapels are so big. They're horrid.
It's not a good look.
And he wears a lot of shiny suits. A lot of shininess.
At this point, Nikki's crew is spinning out of control. I swear I'm going to wrap this up. One night, Ginger ties her kid to the bed and goes out for the night because, you know, she's a good person.
Yeah, that's what moms do.
Exactly. So she's over at Nikki's spot, incoherent, just full of drugs and little Pesci's.
Ew.
So you know.
Littler Pesci's?
Oh, yeah. You know. Ace calls her a cunt and takes her home. They fight again. She goes back to Nikki's hysterical. Nikki slaps her around a little bit and kicks her out the back because, you know, there's a limit.
Yeah, there's only so much I can take.
It's like, I'm done with this. So, that's how he feels. He's not a good guy.
You're attracted to the crazy at first, and then the crazy doesn't go away, and so, you know.
Yep. Yeah. So the next morning, she shows up and like starts...
Why'd you say nope like that?
Yeah, let's
what
dive.
What are you talking about?
Deep dive. Go on.
Why'd you say nope like that?
Yeah, there's something there.
Was that like me? Like me? Like I'm crazy?
There was
Am
a little
crazy?
Truth. There was a little truth
Am
there.
Am I crazy?
No.
Okay.
That sounded confident.
Talk about that later.
Nice. Oh, boy, you're in trouble. So the next morning she shows up, starts to crash her car into the house until the police arrive to escort her inside, where she steals the keys to the safety deposit box. She's in the house, squawking, looking for the shiny things, straight bird behavior. She races over to the bank to get the money. Ace chases her, but he can't do anything because he set it up the way he did. As soon as she has the cash, she gets pinched by the feds, and at this point, everybody gets arrested by the FBI. At the arraignment, the boss decide to try and whack Ace and a bunch of other guys involved, because dead men tell no tales, it's true. Ginger gets strung out and dies in a hotel hallway.
Yeah, it's very...
RSVP.
Apropos. Yeah. Now back to where the movie started. Ace gets sploded, but not really. They put the bomb in the wrong place, and he was able to scramble out just in time.
He turns back into a real person from the doll he turned into earlier.
He does. And you can see the transition happen in real time.
The jump cut is a lot.
So, at the end, Nikki and his brother head to a meeting out in a cornfield to talk about going back to Vegas. And as soon as Nikki gets out of the car, he gets clipped with the metal bat. Right in the knee. And they make Nikki watch three guys beat his little brother to death with bats. It's a lot.
It's
this scene
a lot.
Is pretty gruesome. It's the most gruesome one in the
I mean, they put a guy's head in a vice, but this is more gruesome.
Like, I just love how, like, even we were kind of in there with Nikki, because he's sitting there, he's like, yeah, they even told me I could bring my kid brother Dominic in here, and then, oh! Because they just start beating the shit out of him while he's doing his voiceover.
Voiceover, yeah.
And, yeah, they beat him up so bad, but he's still alive, because I'm like, I even think he was still breathing when they threw him in.
Well, at the end, they give Nikki the same treatment. They toss him in a shallow grave, still breathing a little bit. Ace continues to make money and pick winners. The end. It does have a happy ending, because De Niro gets to live.
Then Sharon Stone dies.
And I'm really sad she didn't die sooner.
Okay. Well, like you said, he still picked winners, so...
This movie cost $52 million and made $116 million.
Pretty good.
So with that knowledge, Matt, what'd you think? You pass it?
Of course I pass it. It's fucking Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci.
My dude.
I mean, I've often said before, talking about this movie with like friends and shit, this is like his attempt at a, please give me an Oscar. He did Goodfellas last, the year or two before, and lost to, oh shit, what did he lose to?
Goodfellas?
Yeah. It wasn't Saving Private Ryan.
Schindler's List?
It was something, no, it was like a, I think it was like a fluff movie. Like a, I think it might have been Dances with Wolves, I think.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Fucking Kevin Costner.
So he lost to that. And I said it, I kind of was talking about that again when we were talking about Oppenheimer. I'm like, this was Nolan's, like, please. I'm making it nice. It's not as violent. There's not as much cursing. It has big lights and pretty colors and everything that the Academy loves. Please give me my Oscar now. And he still didn't get one.
No.
Totes pass.
Nice. Allie?
Yeah, I pass it. I still like it.
Even though it has Sharon Stone in it?
I like Sharon Stone. Okay. I do think it's long, but I just am prepared for that with a Scorsese movie. I find Joe Pesci annoying, but again, par for the course. I love the suits and the clothes, and I like it because this is how I imagine Vegas to be in my head, even though I know it's not anymore. But I kind of like, when he gets that talk show, I'm like, this is amazing. With these, like, dancers and, like, I don't know. I just like that
the
kind
Ace
of old...
The Ace Rothstein dancers.
The Ace Rothstein dancers.
The Ace is high. Yeah,
like, he weighed each one of those dancers.
Yes, he
one
did.
One was 8 pounds over. He sent that bitch home.
Yes. She needed a diet
He sent them French broads back because they were blowing up too fast.
Brown rice and vegetables. She needs that diet. Ice them up. But no, I still like it. I still like it. I think it's good. Yeah.
Awesome.
Pass.
Tammy.
Are you alive?
I don't know. think it was... I liked the part where we were walked through the casino and we were talking about the games and...
So the first 45.
The first 45. And then as you narrated us through the next 2 hours, I started to grow more and more irritated with your depiction of Sharon Stone and all of the mob activities.
Oh, no, it's just reverse just what I love saw. Potion number 9.
And I checked out like probably about 50 minutes ago.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not a Martin Scorsese fan.
But she'll fucking sit and watch The Shawshank Redemption anytime it's on.
For the 900th
fucking
time.
Fucking boring-ass Frank Darabont.
So, I'm sorry.
Thank you for being predictably basic.
Good.
Well, that's 3 passes and a fail, Guido.
I haven't failed your shit in a long time.
That's true. All right, well, now we're going to...
It was long.
You're long.
AF.
Now we're going to... Now we're going to rank all 4 movies from Guido Appreciation Month and crown a winner. I did Summer of Sam.
I did Blown Away.
I did Liar Liar.
And we just did Casino.
That's right.
So Guido, you get to go last. So who would get to go? Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Matt, are you going best to worst or worst to best?
I'm going.
Yeah. What do you do?
Four to one.
So
number 4 is Liar Liar. Number 3 is Summer of Sam. Number 2 is Blown Away, and number 1 is Casino.
Tammy, do you want to go?
Number 4 is Casino.
Typical.
Number 3 is Blown Away. Number 2 is Liar Liar. Number 1 is Summer of Sam.
This is hard. I guess I'll go.
That's what Sharon Stone said to Joe Pesci.
Yeah. In
the movie. Is it because I said booty burp and boy juice?
I mean, that,
is that why you feel the way that you do?
No, I was fucking bored.
That's when you got turned off.
Explanations of everything.
I mean, I've never heard that description before. So.
There's like everything had like a 5-word description of a 3-hour movie.
Booty burping boy juice is not going to be the title of the episode. Oh my god.
Why not?
Probably just again I'm most likely going to go in the order I'm probably going to watch them again. So I'm going to go.
Well, in that case, SOS is number 1.
I know. Well, yes it is. But I'm going to go Blown Away 4, Liar Liar 3, Casino 2, Summer of Sam 1. I tend to watch Casino when it's on.
Moment of truth.
Liar Liar is number 4.
The spite.
You did that on purpose? Or is it because you have seen it?
I've seen it a lot. And I like these other movies. And so it's really hard for me.
It's out of place. Kind of like when High Spirits was out of place or whatever.
Okay. We'll keep going.
Look forward to no retaliation from this. So number 3 is Blown Away. And then Summer of Sam. And then Casino. There you go.
And the winner of Guido Appreciation Month is...
Summer of Sam.
No shit!
Yes!
No shit!
Why are you looking? You don't believe her?
I'm just still dumbfounded by this math.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
It's not that I don't believe her, but I'm just like, what? Okay. Like, plus I'm watching it upside down, so
yes.
I'm like...
Yes.
And then
from over here, it looks like Sudoku.
Yay! Spike Lee, your friend? Are you going to call him?
Noah, he told me not to because it would ruin the surprise.
Oh, he wants to listen.
Yes,
oh,
he wants
that's
to listen.
Nice. That's
Thank
nice.
You very much, everyone. You are also very thoughtful.
Oh, well then.
Thank you.
Summer of Sam won Guido Appreciation Month.
It was a good one. It was a good pick.
Well.
You and I rated
Allie,
it number 1.
Quid pro quo.
Oh, well. We are going to be starting off the month of May, and the theme for May is...
Well, it is Mother's Day month.
So are we calling it Mother Appreciation Month?
No, Mother's Month.
That's Mother.
Or Mother Lovers Month.
Okay. Basically, we're all tasked with picking... of basically doing a movie our mothers have picked.
So get ready to see Joe Pesci again.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. Are we doing Ice Spiders versus Police Academy?
To be honest, I feel like this might be the best movies we've all done this month.
What from the Sci-Fi Channel are we doing
for
this?
No, my mother did not pick a movie from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, that's right. Did she just get the Lifetime Network, too?
No, she doesn't watch Lifetime movies.
Not without
my... She has some taste.
Not without my space daughter.
No, so my mom's pick, which I'll get more information about why, came out in 1982. It was directed by Ridley Scott. It stars Harrison Ford and Rutger Hauer, and
it is
Blade Runner.
We've all lost.
Mal, we will be watching, because my mother has probably not seen any other version of this movie, so we will be watching, I'm assuming, the theatrical release of this movie, because there are many versions.
I have all cuts.
Okay.
If she wants to watch any cut, let me know.
Brother,
ew.
So I looked it up, and you do have to buy Blade Runner. It's not really available.
Well, you should own it.
Well, yes, I agree. You should, but you have to buy it. But that is what my mother has chosen for Mother Lovers.
Amazing
month.
Pick. Lovers. Are we really calling it Mother Lovers?
I don't know.
I mean, all right. I just want to know.
Hey, we love our mothers, man.
Yes.
We love
you
our mothers.
Mother
month.
Lover.
We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month. I think we're still potentially looking possibly for themes, at least for October. I feel like we haven't decided on October yet.
No.
November is your choice because that's your birthday month, Matt. But
yep.
I feel like October is still kind of open.
And December, maybe?
Still hoping for a Steve Guttenberg recommendation. But you can recommend a theme month on social media or by sending us an email. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next month, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.